We're so glad to be here again in Decatur, Alabama. This is a special place to us. I have special friends here, all of you. Brother Thomas, very kind to me, but I want to tell you, he has been a big influence in my life. The Lord is the author of blessings, and one of my blessings is that he sent Brother Thomas my way. Been a mentor to me, him, Brother Homer, different ones. I'm not going to start naming all the names, but he was one of the initial ones that came into my life when I came into the churches that taught grace, there in Dennis Springs especially. Many fond memories of that. I wish I could be as eloquent in saying what I think of him as he was about me. I feel like the least of all in among these giants to me of the faith that are in the churches here. But we do the best we can, and the Lord uses that, because the Lord's requirement for success is to be faithful to what he gives you to do. So whatever we can do, I pray that we're faithful in doing it. We're trying to be faithful in the way that we do things. That's the most important thing to me, is to do things honestly before the Lord and with goodwill toward all. The churches in Thailand would send their greetings to you. There's a church plant in Dong Bang where Brother Mike was blessed to come be with us for a while. We were blessed by him being there. Brother Supin is still there pastoring, and Sister Sai is his wife. Church there is doing well, getting a bit elderly, which is unusual in Thailand. Most churches you see there have a young crowd, a very young crowd. But the church there is rather elderly. The Lord has brought his people to a place where they can be fed. These are Christians. These are not children seeking other things, but these are Christians. There are children in the church. There are some middle-aged members in the church, and there's children. One of my heart's desires is to get back there, because right now, as Sukin preaches the service, I see a lot of children not being taught outside playing things. So I would love to be there to teach them. Over the years, I've had a lot of work and experience with working with children. I guess a lot of it was because I have been a tip maker and worked with elementary age children in the schools about 2 days a week for most of the years that I worked there. Last year, I worked this Saturday afternoon with high school students as far as teaching English. But there I was able to meet some of the Christians in the schools there, and we were able to talk to, so that was a blessing. We do appreciate that the Lord gives us these churches that support us. We don't have a large number. We have about 11 churches or something. But every church that I go to knows me, and I know them. And to me, that's priceless. That's priceless. I'm so blessed to have that. Also blessed that Brother Downs has come to the field in Thailand. He's not doing very well. He may have to return here soon. But what a blessing he's been to me on the field over there. I've tried to help him. We've worked together. The church in Burma was an effort between me and Brother Downs working together to see that church established, and it was. Young man is preaching there, is preaching the gospel on the streets wherever he's at every day. He was known in Mayside, a little village just on the Thai side of the border, as the bicycle preacher. We had bought him a bicycle, and he was constantly among the folks. One of his favorite things was in the mornings, people from Burma would gather looking for jobs, people to come by and have them work in the field or at some labor during the day. He would go to all those poor people and witness to them every day. And the church in many people that he witnessed to came through the church, and many were saved. And he had quite a good congregation going there. I would say about 20 or maybe 30 there. And they moved to Burma when things freed up. These people were coming across the bridge. They could get a 7-day pass. And but after things freed up, he's able to go back into Burma. The church went about 50 kilometers into Burma. Because of government situations, between relations between our government and their government, I'm not free to go over there. I can go, but I'm being watched, and it'll draw attention to what he's doing. Even today, even though they're tolerant, it's not free. There's no religious freedom in Burma. There's toleration at this point. And sometimes they're not the most tolerant. But I trust that that church is doing well because of the leadership that we worked with in that church, the young man, Brother Mew. Dr. Green's church, Trinity Baptist, he works with the Westerners, which is a huge population of Westerners that speak English, and even some Thais that speak English. And there's several, another 25 or 30, I guess, that attend his church regularly. Sometimes I'm able to help him when he needs help. In fact, the first email I got here when I got to the States and was able to get online, Brother Green said, "Dan, I need help." Well, he didn't know I was even over. He said, by the end of his email, "Oh, I just heard you were in the States." So, but I'll be glad to help him when I get back, I told him when I get back. And so that's a blessing, to be able to work with these two men have been a blessing to me, to help them when I can. So those churches would like to send their greetings to you too. And we're so glad to be here. What I've been working on since I've been here, and I've been teaching at every church, is something that's really caused me to study. Often we have these things we come across in the Bible. I call them speed bumps. It's something we hit, and we don't quite understand the fullness of it. We understand the meaning of what it says, but takes a little more study to really understand it. So I don't know why, but as soon as I got here, it just came to me. I wanted to know, so I did further study, and I'll share with you with my lesson as I'm getting it together, and hopefully we'll get it translated in Thailand, and we'll work together sometime and do that. But it's one of these things that it's very important that we do, but we just, when we hear it, we say, "How do you do that?" Or "I don't know if I can do that," or just that. And it's the Lord's command, and I don't believe the Lord commands us to do anything we can't do. So I have to look at it. So if you'll turn your Bible to Matthew 5 and 43. And we'll read 44 also. In fact, 44 is where most of this will come from. But in the Sermon on the Mount, I taught it several years ago in Thailand, and we went through the Sermon on the Mount. This particular portion of it is one of those speed bumps. You teach on it, but then you might need to go back and do some further study. A lot of times I go back and do further study, and I learn things I never knew. And this is one of them right here. But in 43 it says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." It been said. But the Lord said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." I don't know about you, but that's happened to me before. I've been hated. I've been talked about. That's happened to me. And there's a lot of us in here that I'm sure is the same thing. But to love them, who does the Lord say is your enemy? Those that curse us, that's our enemy. That's what the Bible says. Love your enemies. Then it goes on to describe them. Those that are hateful to us. Those that insult, slander, persecute. I never known such slander and persecution and insults until I was on the mission field by those who don't like us. And it's not by the Thai people often. It's often by some other group or somebody else that has some reason or ulterior reason or something to do it. Why, I don't know. But you have to learn to turn these things over to the Lord. And it's hard to do. But if you learn how to love your enemies, you can do it. So I've gone back to this passage and done a study on it. And I got vocabulary for my study here that I would have the students study first. Because I believe in going back to the Greek, often that helps. In this case, it helps a lot. It is something we can do. We can do. We can love our enemies. But we have to look and see what the Lord was saying to us. And we'll start with this. Why should we love our enemies? It's our Lord's command. Even though our enemies curse us, our Lord commands us to bless them. Now, in the Greek, it doesn't mean to pray. It doesn't mean to lay your hand and give some kind of ritual. No. That word bless in the Greek there means to speak well or to speak to them. Speak well to them or speak well for them or about them. Speak well of them. We can do that. We have enemies. We don't have to be mad. And all that. If we see them, we can speak well to them. They may speak us, curse us. We don't have to return that. We can speak well of them. We have to be in a different nature than our human nature to do that. But Christ lives in us. And He's the one that commanded us to do this. We can do it. Even though our enemies are hateful to us, again, the Lord commands us to do good or to do well unto them. Same thing, but this is speaking of our actions toward them. We need to do well. And even though our enemies insult, slander, and persecute us, our Lord commands us to pray for them. This is a very important thing. You try praying for your enemies. See how long you can hold that grudge inside. I mean praying for their salvation. Praying that the Lord will change them. I don't mean praying, thinking we're praying for them when we're saying, Lord, kill them. That's not it. And I want to say here, this is not talking about the enemies of the United States. It's talking about your enemies. The ones that persecute you. And the ones that hate you. We can do it. Why are we commanded to love our enemies, to be obedient to our Lord's command? Luke 6 and 35 and 6. You can turn there if you want. If not, I'll read it to you. I have a lot of scriptures, and I have a ton of scriptures more than I have here tonight. This is a very important topic and subject for us. If you start looking up scriptures concerning loving your enemies and how to treat them, the Bible is absolutely filled, it seems like, with these scriptures for us to do. Luke 35 and 36, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and the evil. That word there is agapao, not agape, agapao. And it means to act with goodwill towards them. When it says that we are to love our enemies, it literally means to act with goodwill. It don't mean with affection. We can't love them with affection. The word here, agapao, is a verb and it's active. It's something you do. Only God can love, can will to love someone with affection. There's something in us that's passive that we just do. We love our children, but we don't will to love them. We love them from the inward out. It's not something we do. We don't have to be told to love our children. We do it. Our friends, the same way. That's filial love. It's a different kind of love. This love is something we choose to do. To love ye your enemies and do good. And then it keeps on going on. But I see there's a parenthetical thought in here. But love ye your enemies, and then it goes on to tell you about how to do it. But then it says, love ye your enemies, for he is kind. Because we love our enemies, because God is kind unto the unthankful and the evil. We can act like that to our enemies too. That's a certain kind of love, but it's not affectionate love that God has for us. But it is a type of love that God withholds wrath on the people of this day. And it says, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. In verse 36, be ye therefore merciful. We need to be like him, and as your Father also is merciful. We can have mercy on people. They're offensive to us. They're doing wrong. God withholds judgment. We can turn everything over to him. We don't have to rail and get angry and all that. We can do it. In our flesh, no. But in Christ, we can. Why are we commanded to love our enemies? We're also commanded to love our enemies because God's leading and example. God willed to love us while we were yet at enmity with him and were indeed his enemies. God willed, but he loves us. Not only, he does love us with his agapao love, if I'm saying that right, that he willed to love us, to do good will toward us, of course. But furthermore, he loves us with agape love, which is affection, and he set his affection on us in eternity past. We can't set our affection on people. We can't will ourselves to love them in that affectionate way. God can. But it's not something in our human nature, our depraved nature, we can do. It's not what we can do. But we can be, we have good will towards them. But God went further than that. He set his affection on us. What did it say? While God's love for us was certainly an act of his goodwill, agape love towards his elect, his love went far beyond goodwill and is expressed as affection, agape love, when used in the following. We're told to love people with agape. It is a love that you goodwill towards people. But in Romans 5 and 8 says, but God commended his love, agape love, with affection toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're expected to have goodwill, but God doesn't command us to have affection for the enemy, for our enemies. But he does command us to have goodwill towards them. Romans 5 and 10 says, but for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. When we were God's enemies, we were reconciled. God had set he had willed to do it. That's the agapao. He had willed to love us, but further than that, he had willed to set his affection upon us. He doesn't require us to set our affection upon our enemies, but he does goodwill towards them. Colossians 1 and 21, and you that were sometimes, and you, us, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled. Ephesians 1 and 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blame before him in love. He hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in agape love, with affection. He loves us affectionately. Not the world, but He loves us. But He has good will. He is kind to the world, withholding judgment. There will come a day. There will come a day when we'll be glorified and they'll face judgment. But that day is being withheld right now. That's the kind of love the world has. It's not the kind of love that He loves everybody and we are the world and all these things you hear on TV, that we're all God's children. That's not true. Only God's children enjoy agape love. The kind of goodwill towards the world, that kind of love, everybody enjoys. But if you think about it, they're enjoying it because of us. Because of what Jesus did for us. Really, we know He loves us because of His Son. What His Son did for us. We should also love our enemies to not be like the world. In Luke 6:36 and 32 it says, "For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye?" What's in that? The world does that. Unsaved, depraved man does that. It's nothing special about loving your family, loving your friends, but it is something special about loving your enemies. That's the hard to do. "For sinners also love those that love them, and if ye do good to them which do good to you, if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye?" What's in that? "For sinners also do even the same." Verse 34, "And if you lend to them which you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive much again." That's human nature. That's of the flesh. But we're told to be partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4 says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." We can become partakers of divine nature through God's promises, precious promises, that we can escape the corruptions of the world. John Gill says, "Ye might be partakers of the divine nature." He explains that it's not essentially or the essence of God. We're not the essence of God so as to be deified. This is impossible. But by way of resemblance and likeness, Christ formed in the heart, into which image and likeness the saints are more and more changed, and which resemblance will be perfected hereafter, when they shall be entirely like Him and see Him as He is. Christ formed in the heart, into which image and likeness of the saints are more and more changed. We can love our enemies because Christ is in our heart. He's formed in our heart. We can become more and more like Him. It's not something that's just going to happen. This is human responsibility, if you want to say. But this is a command. It's our responsibility to respond to the command. It's what we do. And we have to step back. When we have enemies that upset us, and we, in nature, human nature, the immediate reaction is going to be upset, to be mad, to be hurt, we need to step back and think about this verse. Love your enemies and do goodwill to them that abuse you, and turn it over to the Lord. He knows all of that. We need to do it to overcome evil. We need to love our enemies to overcome evil. Romans 12:19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves," what we were just talking about, "avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him a drink, for in doing so thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." Verse 21, Romans 12:21 says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Overcome evil with good. Luke 11:4, we pray this in our model prayer. But Luke 11:4 says, "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil." Forgive us our sins, for, because we also forgive everyone that indebted, that sins against us. Do we do that? Do we do that? We ask God to forgive us as, in like manner, as we forgive those who sin against us. Can we honestly pray that? Do we do it? Something to think about. If I put a bug in anybody's ear and you want to study these things further, I suggest you do it. But I'm reading from the Word. Romans 12:17 says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." Provide things honest. I looked that up in the Greek. Provide things honest. That means do right in the sight of all men. We're supposed to do right in the sight of all men. There was a black Baptist church in Gonzales, Louisiana, outside of Gonzales. It was a Baptist church, a black Baptist church. It had an unusual name, and it was named Do Right Baptist Church. I laughed at that for a while, and then the more I thought about it, the more that was a good name. We're, as Christians, we're supposed to be Christ-like and do right. Do Right Baptist Church. I like that. We are supposed to do right so when the world sees us, they see Christ in us. Nothing makes an angry person, a person that's your enemy, matter than when they attack you and they persecute you and you do right. You don't return it. And maybe it'll put those coals upon their head. Maybe they'll put those coals upon their head and they may come to feeling guilty. They may even come to the point that God moves them to ask you why you don't do that. May not ever happen, but it may happen. It has happened in the past. It has happened. Probably more often than we think. Seeking vengeance will not cause us to seek the transformation of our enemies into brethren by seeking an opportunity to present them the gospel message. That should be our ultimate goal. Seeking vengeance is not going to bring you to the place where you can witness to them. Maybe have some effect on them. Maybe they will become a brethren. Maybe they'll become a friend and a brother in Christ. But if you're seeking vengeance, if you're hostile, hostility, argument, discord, and light will never lead to opportunities to witness for Christ. It's not going to happen. How do you love your enemies? Went over this a little already. We love our enemies and we love our friends and our family with a passive love called filial love. It's not something we choose to do, but from inward affection. You do it. We do it. However, we are to love our enemies by showing active goodwill, agapao, towards them. Not according to our feelings towards them, but by Christian charity, as described by Jesus in Matthew 5:44. We're supposed to show Christian charity, which is love. Another word for love. Christian charity, or Christian love, is something we do by blessing men. Matthew 5:44 says, "But I say, love your enemies, bless them that curse you." Romans 12:14, "Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not." Again, that means doing good or speaking well. Speaking well of them, speaking well to them. 1 Peter 3:9 says, "Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, speaking well, doing well, knowing that you are there unto a call that you should inherit a blessing." We're called to do this, and it will bring blessing to us. The biggest blessing, it'll change us from being bitter, angry people into being more Christ-like and more loving people. 1 Corinthians 4 and 12 says, "In labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it." And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. That's what we're supposed to do. Being persecuted, we suffer it. We tolerate it. We have patience. The word bless, eulogio, means to speak well of or speak well to. By doing good to them, Matthew 5 and 44 says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you." Galatians 6:10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity," I like that, "as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Now, I understand that, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, because if we don't do it here, we don't love each other here, we're going to have a hard time doing it out there. It says to love all men, do good unto all men, but it has to begin here. We don't need church splits, church divisions, all these kind of things. We don't need enemies in the church. We don't need that. We need to love each other. We need to make sure that we will to love each other and that we have affection. God will give us the affection for each other. That's called Philadelphia love, when we have that. That's a different kind of love from the other two. There's a love we have in here that's not in the outside world. It's called Philadelphia love. We'll probably get to that. "If thine enemy hunger," Proverbs 25 and 21 says, "If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee," shall reward you. We're looking for that. We're looking to please the Lord. 1 Peter 3:16 says, "Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." That word "good conversation" in Christ there means your good behavior. We act Christ-like. "Having a good conscience, that whereas they," your enemies, "speak evil of you," and they speak of you as evildoers, "they may be ashamed," your enemies may be ashamed, "that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." 1 Peter 2 and 12 says, "Have your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." That's what we've been talking about. They speak evil against you, but by your good works that they see, which they shall behold, they'll see it. They shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Means in the day that God inspects them, maybe God will move them to salvation. He may save them. And it may be because of not the witness we have verbally, but because of our behavior, that they want to be like us. And that's happened to lots of people, I guarantee you. I know it is. If it wasn't, the Bible wouldn't mention it. This is a primary one, by praying for them. How do you love your enemies? By praying for them. As Jesus taught us, by example. He taught us by, in the Sermon on the Mount, "I say unto you, love your enemies, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." But by example, as he did, Luke 23 and 34 says, then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. He was on the cross. The Son of God and the Son of Man was on the cross. In his humanity, he said, "Father, forgive them." An example for us. But that's Jesus Christ, you say. I'm not Jesus. Well, listen to this. As Stephen did, Acts 7:59. "And they stoned Stephen.
calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And Stephen, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. He died. That was Stephen's last thought, was, Lord, lay this not to their charge. Similar to the Lord saying, we're supposed to love them with an active goodwill, and that's the sense of the word. Agapao. Now, in some concordances, you'll see agapao means with affection, but it can only be applied when God sets his affection on us. This is an active love, something you do, and only God can love people affectionately by willing to do it. God can cause us to love each other, that's filial love, but we can't will to love our enemies with affection. We can't will to do it. Possibility God could change hearts and things like this. We cannot in our human nature will to do it. But we can be good will. So that's an active good will we have towards them. That's loving our enemies, is by actively choosing to do good and have good will towards them. Doesn't mean affection. Only of God does it apply as affection, this kind of love. Luke 6:35 says, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. I've read that before, but we need to think about it again. It talks about we love our enemies, and that's the agapao love, is the command, because God is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. We're to be like him. As Gil was saying, we're to be like him. That's the kind of love we have for those out there. Don't mean you affectionately love them, you want to hug them, this and no. But it means when we have the opportunity to show them, it doesn't mean now that we run out looking for enemies so we can be nice to them. But when we do encounter that, we're to do it with goodwill and not in a not be hostile or argumentative or any of that. But do as we think Christ would do, or to be like him. Be ye therefore, Luke 6:36, be ye there merciful as your Father also is merciful. I want to take this opportunity. There was a radio preacher years ago in Denham Springs there. I heard him on the radio. And he said, grace is getting something you don't deserve. He said, mercy is not getting something you do deserve. I thought that was great. That's in a nutshell that you can remember. God's grace is given to us. We don't deserve it. But mercy is given to us when we do deserve punishment. We're to be merciful. Yes, they deserve it. God knows they deserve it. That's why he said vengeance is his. But we don't participate in that. We show goodwill for them. The last thing, how do we love our enemy, is by grace. By grace. And I'm going to finish with this. Titus, the second chapter, 11th verse down to the 14th verse. So I'll read these. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, this world we're in today, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We can By grace, love our enemies with goodwill, kindness, and mercy. Obedience will please the Master and will change us for the better. May the Lord help us to do that. We're so weak, but our strength is in the Lord. Thank you so much.